We wish to acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land we are recording on in Perth, Western Australia.
The Whadjuk people of the Noongar Nation.
We wish to acknowledge their continuing culture.
And pay our respects to the elders past, present and emerging.
In a world where the lives of everyday people are preordained by the script that must be followed, a ragtag team of scamps dare to speak their highly unqualified opinions publicly. They dare to go off script.
Unscripted, the film show.
You're listening to Unscripted, the film show.
You can't handle the truth.
God, I'm walking here.
Here's Johnny.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
I'll have what she's having.
Want to hear the most annoying sound in the world?
Good evening, Unscripted Nights, and welcome to another Thursday evening with Unscripted, the film show. My name is Lewis. Sitting across from me is Cecilia.
Hello.
And sitting not in the other chair is Rachel, who's not here tonight.
Empty chair.
We're not going to throw to that chair tonight because that's going to just give us dead air.
Complete silence. Yeah, sorry. Right.
And if we're silent for too long, then the BBC kicks in and that'll just confuse everyone.
Yeah, because it thinks we've made an error and it'll be like, this isn't Unscripted, the film show. This isn't about films. But it's we just played Lady Gaga before we
We played a bit of Gaga.
But if you're listening to the podcast version, obviously you won't hear that part. But I thought I'd just mention, obviously, Joker, the new film Folie à Deux. I'm not sure if that's how you pronounce it. It's set to release in October. So looking forward to that, starring Lady Gaga and Joaquin Phoenix in it. So,
yeah, like, there's been like news apparently that it's supposed to be like going to be like a musical or something like that. I'm not sure if that's true or not, but I wonder if they'll be like make it more wacky and funny and if the tone won't, because the first one was very serious.
It was a very dark tone to it, particularly that ending. So to see if it's, I mean, I can see Gaga in a musical type role. Joaquin Phoenix, I've never seen him in that type role, so it'll be interesting. I mean, I've seen him in the Joker role.
Yes.
I recently seen him in that new movie, Bo is Afraid 2, the Ari Aster film.
Yeah.
Have you seen that?
I have
not. It's very bizarre. It's a very bizarre film. I'm looking forward to the new Joker film set to release in October. I was hoping it was going to be a little bit earlier in the year, but with, you know, how things are going, I'm sure we'll get to October in no time.
That's so right. This year is just going like the clappers. It's weird. I hate to talk about the weather and stuff like that, but because I get up in the morning like at 5 to go to the gym, and when it was the summertime, you get up and it would be light and it would be warm and you go, oh, this is all good. You can see how dedicated people are to the gym depending on the weather, because now I'm getting up and it's like 15 degrees, 16 degrees. So it's the kind of weather where I'm going, okay, I'm going to put a hoodie on. Still wearing shorts, but I'm going to put a hoodie on. And the sun doesn't come up till after I finish at the gym. And I was like, oh, man. It's just like thinking like, you know, another month down the track and it's going to be even colder. And
pitch black in the morning. And so less people in the gym at the moment.
Totally less. Which is nice, because there's nothing I like more than an empty gym.
Yeah.
But, it's also like, yeah, going, oh yeah, we're getting to that hibernation stage of the year.
Oh, I know. I'm starting to feel the brisk, cool air in the morning. The blankets, you know, having to get the bigger blanket up and, you know, snuggle in. So I know I'm not. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about winter.
Yeah, we haven't got a quilt on the bed yet, but maybe that's not far off. But I'm going to be traveling soon. Going to it's weird, like it's now like it's starting to get cold here, but I'm going to a place where it's cold, but they're going into their summer, but it's still colder, because I'm going to do like Japan and Hong Kong, but their days at the moment are kind of like, you know, low 20s, and then like the bottom out to like, you know, 10 degrees and stuff like that. So you're gonna go do some theme parks over there, do some Universal Japan and Disney in Tokyo. But it's just my cousin just got back from Japan, and he went to Universal Japan, and it's really weird, because like, you know, Kat and I, we've traveled the world and gone to a lot of theme parks. Mm-hmm. And generally, if you go to a theme park, all the lands of the theme park are open to you. So yeah. It's like you can go there and you do all the lands and you can get on the rides. You've got to wait for them, but you can get on the rides. But now in Tokyo, we've had to pay for these fast passes just to guarantee that we can get into the Harry Potter land in Tokyo, Universal in Osaka.
That's crazy.
And we've had to pay for express passes to get into the Nintendo land, so we can actually go into the Nintendo land. But we've only got, I think we're going to get the passes. Oh, no, I think we've got, but yeah, there's two rides there. So we can do two rides. We've got an express pass one ride one day and express pass the other ride the other day. But it was like my cousin went there and he's like, cool, I'll go to Nintendo Land. Mm-hmm. It's like, no, you're not.
Wow.
Yeah.
So you're turned away or just is the wait much longer?
No, it's like you actually have to book a time to go into the land. So not even on the rides. This is just like
The land part. Yeah.
You've got to get a time to go into that land. And so, sorry, my apologies. So I'm getting choked up just thinking about it. you have to get a time to go into land and then you have to get onto the ride. Mm-hmm. So, like, you've got to get a time for the land and a time for the ride. So that's why we've booked these passes so that we can get into the land at a certain time and then we get on the rides. It's going to be good knowing that we're going to be able to do it.
Yeah.
But it was ridiculously expensive. Like for 2 days to be able to make sure that we get into the land and be able to get onto those rides, it cost us $500 each for the 2 days.
That is insane. Plus you're already paying to get into the theme park.
That was separate. That was for the tickets for the 2 days and for the express passes for 2 days.
Oh, still, that's expensive. That's an expensive day out of the fair, you know. Plus you get your food and your drinks. It all adds up.
When you throw a couple hundred bucks on top of that for food and drinks and stuff. So yeah, it's But it makes going to the theme parks like one of those things where it was like a thing we'd want to do every year. It's starting to like grate on us a bit. We're kind of like going, maybe there's other things that we could
spend the
money on and get better value for. So, but I think Universal Japan was probably going to be a one and done anyway. Mm-hmm. But the thing I'm looking forward to is it's the only place in the world now where they've still got a Jaws ride.
Yeah.
So I am looking forward to doing the Jaws ride.
That sounds fun. Yeah. I don't know what that looks like, but I could imagine, and it sounds fun.
Well, it's you're on a boat, like it's not a big boat, it's a small boat, and then you get like attacked by Jaws at several points during the ride. So
I seen a picture the other day of people in a pool, and they were watching Jaws. on the big screen, and I'm like, oh, imagine watching Jaws in the water. With that must heighten your experience of the film, surely.
It must be weird. But even like going in the water, when I was young, I didn't really swim in the ocean all that much. Mm. But if I was in the pool and I put my head under the water, all I'd hear was dun-dun.
I know. And that irrational fear of, is there a shark in the pool? Like, I feel like everybody's had that fear at some point. Even the ocean, I will not swim far out because I'm like, is this shark level water? Yes, come back in. If it's literally to my knees, I'm like, that's as far as I'll go. It's because it can happen.
It's just
I don't want to scare anybody.
But. No. Well, the thing is with the water is it's like you're entering the food chain at that point in time. So
you're taking a risk.
Exactly. It's not it's getting to their territory. It's like if you were to be at home and a shark walked into your house, you'd probably like stab it with a fork or something like that. You know, that's just the way things are. So anyway,
I've been attacked by jellyfish a few times.
Have you?
I used to get stung all the time when I was a kid and always in the same spot, like in the legs, and it was just awful. So jellyfish creep me out too. They just look creepy floating around there.
They're kind of weird that they're just like these gelatinous blobs just floating around. And you don't know how old they are as well. Those things could have been there forever.
And I don't even know how long a jellyfish lives for. I mean, I might have to look that up later because it could be a long time. It could be a short time. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure they're pretty long-lived things.
So. I would say so. Yeah. I just feel like they would be based on what they look like.
Yeah.
I feel like a lot of sea creatures are very strange and awkward, but makes scuba diving a lot of fun when you go under and have a look.
Have you only done it once?
I've done it once, but I didn't go very far. It was just under a jetty Yeah. But the, you know, deeper end of the jetty. But the good thing about that is that everything kind of, all the larvae and stuff underwater kind of floats around there and sticks to the beams. So, yeah, lots to see. Yeah. But it's really, really cool. It's a whole new world down there. A whole new world.
I believe there's a song about that. Was that Whole New World? No.
Was that Aladdin?
That was Aladdin.
Aladdin.
We're mixing up our Disney films.
We are. I do apologize.
No, that's all right.
But, you know, Disney, hey, we're still on the same train. Disney train.
Exactly. we do have some, we got a few films that you've seen. This week I've just appallingly bad with reply. There was a screening of, I believe it was Monkey Man?
Yeah, a film called Monkey Man starring Dev Patel and also, oh my gosh, directed by, I'm just trying to think, Monkey Man. It looks really interesting, the cover of the film. It's also Jordan Peele is attached to this film, who we know from, oh gosh, all his films are escaping me now.
He was in
Get Out.
Nope.
Us.
Yep.
And you know, he did really well with Get Out. I think it was Oscar nominated as well. So he's attached to this film. Dev Patel, of course, is attached to this film. And yeah, it looks really interesting. The cover of it, it's kind of dark. It's got this red tone to it, but I know it's about the premise is a young man sets on a journey to hunt down a group of corrupt leaders who are responsible for his mother's death, so it's a real revenge story as well, but I believe he uses a monkey mask to disguise himself as he gets around. Dev Patel plays the kid. He hasn't got a name in the film. It's just the kid. And, yeah, it looks great. I also miss this film, really wanted to see it. But also The Omen 2. Not The Omen 2. The Omen, the first Omen is out this week too. So I haven't seen that, but I'm a huge fan of the original Omen. So looking forward to seeing that.
I'm really surprised I didn't get a preview of that one.
Yeah, it kind of went under the wraps a little bit. And then they obviously tried to remake The Omen again back in 2006 with Julia Stiles, and it was a terrible version of the film. So I just hope this one does its justice. And but apparently Monkey Man and the first Omen are going head-to-head for second place behind Godzilla and Kong for box office. So they're obviously both good films as well. So, but yes, Godzilla versus Kong is sitting up at the top at the box office. This is in America, so I think those films were released about a week earlier than they were here. But interesting to see Monkey Man and Omen, the first Omen, go head-to-head for second place. So
weird I put about two horror films in the same. Yeah. Is it a horror film or is it an action film?
I think it's more a thriller/action film, this one. And then, the first Omen being a horror film. I did also see a horror film this week called Interview with the Devil, which is officially out next week. Mm-hmm. That's a horror too. It's gaining a lot of kind of fuss about it and lots of talk and chit-chat.
Well, we'll definitely
talk about that as well. Then Wicked Little Letters, which is a film that's been out for a couple of weeks starring Olivia Colman.
I am so looking forward to hearing about this.
So, I've seen that as well. So a couple of things to talk about.
Do you see the films?
I often go to the Saturday previews because I find them really easy to get to. Yeah. And I think, so most of them have been those types of films.
Yeah, I wish I'd seen them. I missed both the invites to those two films this week. And
life gets busy.
That's all right. That's fine.
Life gets busy.
As a film reviewer, do you often have friends like ask you questions about is a film good or that sort of thing?
All the time.
I just had a friend, my mate Eugene. If you listen to the end of any of the general pop culture podcasts, I think he does the outro bit.
Yes.
He asked me, so I want to see The Fall Guys. Any good? Doesn't come out till the end of April. How do I know?
He must have assumed you had like a very, very early special screening the film. I often get asked, but I then start going on a tangent and, I kind of don't give them a yes or no. I just go into the film and start talking about it like I would on radio, and they're like, I just wanted to know if it was good or bad. Like, just get to the point, but I can't help it.
That's what we're a film viewer. You're asking us for our opinion. We're going to give it to you.
Got to explain.
Well, one time my boss actually like texted me because he was like on the plane. He said, "Have you seen Blue Beetle?" I said, "Yes," because that was the question. There was no like, "Have you seen Blue Beetle? Is it any good?" I was like, "Have you seen Blue Beetle?" "Yes, I have." I thought it was the start of a conversation on text. Wasn't. He was just like, I needed to know whether it was good. I was on a plane and like,
oh no. So anyway, well, you should have asked that because you're right. It wasn't the question.
But that's all right. That's we managed to come to a consensus on it. That's fine. But we've got to go to some adverts and then we will come back and start reviewing stuff.
Sounds good.
Yes, and it's about 40 minutes away from Quizzy being in the studio. And,
digging through his crates.
Oh, he loves a good rummage in a crate. He brings all the crates in, he digs around.
Love it. Some good tunes.
He's like a music raccoon, he is.
He is. He's very knowledgeable, plays some excellent, excellent tunes. So quite enjoy listening to his stuff.
I do. Oh, I just remember like last weekend. It was a long weekend.
It was.
It was an Easter long weekend. Mm-hmm. Because of that, Kat was like, "Oh, we need to watch some Easter themed movies." Not a lot of Easter themed movies that they're out there.
Yeah, that's a really good point. You think they would have milked that type of thing? You know how they do with Christmas movies.
Oh yes.
Think people would have been out there? There's Hop. That's pretty much the only one that I know of, is a couple of years old and stars James Marsden. And I quite enjoy that film, but you would think that there would be a lot more out there, especially for young kids. Unless they're, you know, I mean, there's also Passion of the Christ. I mean, is that an Easter film or?
It is. Can't say.
Technically.
I wouldn't say it's uplifting. But
no, yeah. Not uplifting. A good film though, but definitely not uplifting. Yep. Those are the only two that I can really think of.
We ended up watching two Kevin Smith films. We watched Mallrats.
Yep.
And because Mallrats is set at Easter and does star a scene with the Easter Bunny.
Can't recall that scene. I need to go back and rewatch Mallrats.
Well, it's because there's a point in the film where Brody gets beaten up by the guy from the Smart Gentleman's Apparel, played by Ben Affleck. Mm-hmm. And he says, when Jay and Silent Bob were within earshot, that he was beaten up by the Mall Easter Bunny. And so Jay and Silent Bob go and in front of a line of children beat up the Easter Bunny.
Oh, gosh. I need to revisit that film. I haven't seen it for ages.
It's really good. We've got several copies of it at home. We've got the original version of it. We've got the 10-year anniversary mm-hmm. version of it. And then we've got another extended version of it where they went and they took the bits they cut out of the film and put them back in mm-hmm. and went, "We really shouldn't have done that. Much better without them. Much better without them."
Much better.
And then the next day we watched Dogma.
Oh, yes. Yeah. Of course. Yes, I'm due a rewatch of that film too. I've also got a copy of that on DVD, so I might pull out that, watch it. Much better than watching it on the streaming service. So I don't think that one's on streaming, though. I think it's quite hard to find.
Yes, it'd be very hard-pressed to find it on the streaming service. And so it's great. I actually posted a thing to our Facebook page today where it was a person like going, "Goodbye TV, I've got cable now." And then, "Goodbye cable, I've got DVDs now." And then, "Goodbye DVD, I've got Blu-rays now." And then, "Goodbye Blu-rays, I've got streaming now." And then just standing in front of the TV going, "This film is not on streaming." So, Bugger.
And it's going to happen. So people, keep your DVDs. So
exactly. Keep your DVD player nice and serviced so it keeps working.
They're hard to find nowadays. Mine's not doing too well. And I went in the other day thinking I could just get one from Kmart like you used to. No.
Oh, no.
Couldn't find one. So I have to go and hit the more hardcore electronics.
Go to the JBs.
Yep.
Retrovisions or the Good Guys. Other electronic stores are available. But we've spoken about Easter enough. I think we need to talk about a film.
Shall I kick off with Wicked Little Letters?
Yes.
So this is a film. It's been out for a few weeks, but it is still in cinemas now, so you can see it. It is based on a true scandal, or supposedly based on a true scandal. But it's set in the 1920s in an English seaside town, and the film centres around neighbours. Edith, played by Olivia Colman, she's this real conservative type, lives at home with her parents. I guess a bit of a spinster type, if you know. That's what you would call them back in those times. And then Rose, Jessie Buckley, and she's this real kind of rambunctious Irish immigrant who lives next door. And The pair begin as friends initially, but their friendship sours over a particular incident that happens. And then after this incident, Edith, along with some of the other town's residents, start receiving these really insulting and vulgar letters with similar language that Rose would use. So she's suspected of the crime. She's charged with it. And this leads to a trial where she's got to prove her innocence. And meanwhile, you've got this police officer, Gladys. She's, you know, continually receives this backlash for being a woman police officer. But she's not convinced that Rose has written these letters. So she's also investigating this crime as it happens. So, yeah, it's a bit of an kind of investigative type crime, whodunit type film. But you've also got an ensemble of British comedy actors. You've got Joanna Scanley. You've got Hugh Skinner in this film as well. You've also got Timothy Spall, who plays Edith's dad in the film. So it's quite a funny film, particularly some of the language that is used in the letters. But it does kind of touch on some of the social and political commentary of the time. So you've got, you know, the suffragette movement happening at the time. You've got the Irish War of Independence. So there's some of that. They're not really explored, but they're touched on. And then there's also this weird dynamic between Edith and her father, played by Timothy Spall. There's a bit of a darker undertone there. He's quite a controlling father. So that's an interesting relationship. But yeah, most of the comedy in the film relies on the foul-mouthed letters that keep you know, being received. And the language is kind of, you know, when people just put weird words together to make a like bum, and then they'll add something onto the end of that.
Like if you said butt monkey.
Yeah, butt monkey. Yeah. So it's that type of language, but a little bit harsher, words that I can't quite use on air, but it's just really silly and really stupid. But yeah, it's quite good fun. And Coleman and Buckley have played older and younger versions of themselves a few years ago in the film The Lost Daughter. I don't know if you ever got to see that one. That was, they were both nominated for an Oscar. So it's nice to see them back in those roles. I think they were perfect. And yeah, I think being a true story is interesting as well.
I'm bummed I missed that one, because I saw the trailer heaps and I was like, this looks like it's really funny. And the fact that it's like based on actual events that happened, it's very, very cool. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to it. It's probably one of those movies I'll catch on a plane or streaming, I think, at this stage.
Yeah, and I think it's a perfect one that you could watch at home. There's nothing too it's not an action-y type film, or it doesn't rely on, you know, anything too aesthetic. So it's more the story. So it's a perfect one to watch on the plane or at home and, yeah, some of that language. But I think Olivia Colman, it's just great to see how far she's come in her career, and I think it's really just blossomed in the last few years. She's been in so many films, and it's nice that she's finally appreciated for that, because I felt like she was kind of overlooked for a long time, and now she's really doing well. And Jessie Buckley, again, fantastic. Is everything I see her in is brilliant. Although there was that movie a couple of recently where she plays, it was kind of set in the future where they predict whether or not the person that you're with is your right match.
Oh, okay.
And it had Riz Ahmed in it as well. That wasn't overly great, but Jessie Buckley was fantastic in that. So, yeah, anyway, long story. It is out now in cinemas, so definitely go and see it or wait for it to hit streaming. But a nice one. I feel like this is a film for all audiences, so you could take, you know, your grandma to go and see it, or your mum, or your dad, or...
Can you take your children? Like,
No, you're right. Probably don't take children, because they might pick up some words there that they might go and then repeat that they probably shouldn't. So definitely don't take your children. That's a good one. Yeah, thanks for picking that, because I don't want to promote a film with foul language. Yeah,
I'm looking forward to seeing it, but how many dirty little letters would you give this one?
I'm going to score this 3.5. I still enjoyed it, but I think I wanted them to touch on some of the more, you know, social and political stuff in the film, and I felt like some of the letters that were sent out were very repetitive, like the comedy relied mainly on the repetition of the foul-mouthed letters, but overall still a strong film and still one that is I'd go see.
Excellent.
So out now. Love seeing Olivia Colman on screen, and I did recently watch or tried to watch the new film. Oh, my gosh. Words are escaping me today. The film that Emma Stone with Poor Things.
Poor Things, yes.
I haven't quite – I've got 20 minutes left. I haven't got
so you
through
watched
it. I've watched most of it, and I just think of it because the director of that film also did The Favourite, which stars Olivia Colman. But I don't know if it's as good as people think it is, because you've seen the film too, haven't you? And I don't want to get too – you know, divisive over it, because it is a great film and people love it. But I don't know if it was maybe too overhyped now. And yeah,
I think it's a interesting film. Mm-hmm. I don't know if I'd go as far as say it's a good film.
Mm.
And the central premise of the film icks me the hell out.
Yeah, it's very odd, but
because it's like the whole idea is just like, that's really just wrong.
Yeah.
But no one's speaking about it. Like, everyone, have a look at Rotten Tomatoes and tell me what the scores are on there for Poor Things. Because last time I looked, they were very, very high. But the thing is, and maybe people are able to separate things
perhaps
more than I am.
I
see black and white, good and bad kind of thing. And like, this is like bad on the appalling kind of side of bad. It just, made the central premise of the film, it makes little sense. And it's just like, that's the wrongest thing in Wrongville.
Mm.
But I can't, and the annoying thing is I can't talk about it.
Yeah, I know, because it's, you're kind of giving too much away. But according to Rotten Tomatoes, 92% is your critics and then 79% is the audience.
Yeah.
So the critics are seemingly loving this. But, yeah, I just felt like it was so overhyped. And I thought, I put this on, this is my film, I'm going to love this because it's my type of thing. But, yeah, I didn't enjoy it as much as I thought I would. I there was some memorable parts in the film, and I have to admit I've still got 20 minutes to go, but I can't imagine a whole lot more happening in the last 20 minutes, unless it does.
Yeah.
Definitely a film I probably wouldn't revisit. I might finish watching it and then, just pop that one away, because...
And if you think about it, it just makes no sense. Like, the thing that happens... Just it's I know it's a fantasy kind of film or anything like that, but the whole thing's implausible, and it's just like, that's just dumb. So the more you think about it, I know what you're aiming for, but it's just a stupid concept.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's.
I thought I'd just mention it because Olivia Colman. I just made the link with the director Yorgos. I don't want to say his name because I'll probably butcher it. But I like some of his work, but most of it I find it a little bit bizarre. Yorgos Lanthimos. Yorgos. But I'm still yet to see Anatomy of a Fall, which again was nominated. So that's next on my list of films to watch. Because I've been very behind with the Oscar films. I haven't seen a lot. So I'm trying to catch up so that when people ask me, I know what I'm talking about.
Another film that's out today is Goodbye, Julia. Which is getting some great reviews. I think it's got like 14 reviews, and so they're all positive on Rotten Tomatoes. It's a Sudanese film, and it's Goodbye, Julia tells the story of two women who represent the complicated relationships and differences between northern and southern Sudanese communities. It takes place in Khartoum during the last years of Sudanese as a united country, shortly before the 2011 separation of South Sudan. Mona, a Muslim and former popular singer for the North, who lives with her husband Akram, seeks to attenuate her feelings of guilt for causing the death of a southern man by employing Julia, a Christian, and his unsuspecting widow as her maid. So, sounds like a very interesting story. That is out today. I think it's at Lunar Cinema, so go check that one out. But we better play some more ads, and then we shall be back with more shortly. And thank you very much to our sponsors. Appreciate you keeping the lights on in the studio so we can come in and talk about movies every week.
Absolutely. Just the best thing to do.
Yeah.
Go and see movies and talk about them. It's fun. I went to see a movie last night at Lunar. Love going to Luna. They play some great movies. It's called Late Night with the Devil. Now, this is officially out next week, so I don't know if I should talk about it this week or next week, but I feel like there's a lot of hype around this film. So I feel like it's good to talk about it maybe tonight and get people interested in the film. Do you think I should, or talk about the film?
Let's talk about, like, we talk about it this week and and then, like, give it another plug next week.
Yeah,
Hopefully. Because I've got next week Back to Black, the Amy Winehouse one's out. So we'll talk about that next week.
Perfect.
And I'm sure, like, I can squeeze something else in between.
That's okay. I'm off to the cinemas on Saturday, I've got a movie there too. And I might try and give Goodbye Julia a watch to officially give that a review on the show as well. So yeah, let's get stuck into Late Night with the Devil then, because had you heard about this film at all?
No, the first I saw like a picture of what's his name? The
David
Schmolzen.
Yes, you say it so good, and I'm glad you said it, because I would not have got that out at all. But yeah, it's been garnering a lot of attention. It's got 97 on Rotten Tomatoes, and yeah, it kind of came out of nowhere, this film. So when it popped up, and yeah, the reactions from audiences and critics have been really good. I was really excited to see it. And it's a bit of a supernatural horror film. So it doesn't incorporate any of the kind of new horror genre elements, you know, all the psychological type stuff. It kind of throws us back to the idea of exorcisms and devil worshipping and that type of stuff.
Is it like a complete fiction, or is it based on anything?
It is fiction, but what I love about this film, so the film's prologue is framed as a bit of a documentary investigating this unexplained event that occurred on October in 1977, so Halloween, during this live broadcast of a popular fake show called Night Owls. So Jack Delroy, played by
the Schmolzen.
Thank you. He is this quite successful variety late night talk show, and he has to compete with another talk show called The Tonight Show, starring Johnny Carson. and he has to compete with that. And over time, you know, he becomes quite successful, and he holds a special Halloween event. And for the special guest, he has a psychic come through, plus a skeptical magician, plus a lady who is a parapsychologist. So she deals with, I don't know if it's a real thing, but she deals with paranormal and psychology. And she brings along a subject called a young girl who has previously been supposedly possessed by a devil. So the movie plays out like you're watching the late night show. So you kind of see these events unfold. But what happens is it's just a kind of series of strange events that occur throughout the night. But you also get this throwback to some of Jack's history. So we know that he lost his wife at one point, but also that he's part of a group who have something to do with devil worshipping. So, ultimately when they gather for this TV show, a whole heap of, you know, weird things start to occur. The audience want to see this young girl possessed, so they try and do that live on stage. There's that psychic who manages to talk to the dead. And so it plays out like you're watching a late night TV show. But, yeah, all these strange series of events begin to occur that are kind of paranormal, supernatural type things. And, yeah, but what I loved about watching the film is that it did really feel like you were watching it. And then occasionally it would cut to, like, he'd say, right, now we're going to go to one of our sponsors. So it would take you to behind the scenes of what was happening and them talking about, like, that wasn't planned. Like, is that part of the show? And they're like, no, like, something really weird is occurring. It does get strange in parts, and I think, but I like that. It's also only a 90-minute film too, so.
Well, yeah, because obviously the talk show's not going to be long, so it's not going to be a two-hour epic.
Exactly.
Kind of film.
So I think it just felt really unique and fresh, this premise and idea watching, like you're watching that.
So you're watching it in real time, basically.
Watching it in real time, and all these unexplained, you know, events happening. But you've also got this skeptic there that's trying to prove them wrong and saying, you know, that that's not happening. This is how you're doing it. So there's that kind of side to it as well. But yeah, it's one that you have to just go and see for yourself and really just, you know, enjoy the ride. But, you know, it's not overly scary. There were some scary moments. But, yeah, no, just a really enjoyable horror film. And I feel like we don't get a whole lot of those these days. So, yeah, it was nice to see something unique and very new. And, yeah, I'm glad it's doing well. So I definitely really like this. Would you go and see this?
I would have gone to see it had I been smart enough to actually RSVP. But yeah, it's definitely one of the ones that's on my list to check out. So
yeah, it's hard to delve too much into what happens because I don't want to spoil it. But yeah, essentially a whole lot of strange things happen while they're trying to film, you know, the late show. Yeah. And there's a little bit of comedy in there too. Because, you know, when things start going wrong, they're like, cut to a break. And it's like, they'll cut to a break and things like that. So, yeah, I like the way it was executed on screen. And, yeah, hard to explain, like, the premise because I don't want to spoil too much. But, yeah, some creepy things happen, essentially.
And what score would you give that?
I'm going to give this a 5.
Oh, wow.
I'm going to give this a 5. I really enjoyed this film. It's definitely my film, like my type of film. I'm a horror fan and not a fan of the new age type of horror stuff. I like the old school type of stuff, and particularly anything devil related I find quite scary. I'm always been, that stuff really gets to me. And the scary thing was when I got home that night, my TV had turned on and was like sitting there, and it had the thing for, oh, if you want to activate this, it was like someone had spoken in my house and activated my TV. So when I came home, I was very creeped out thinking, because I just feel like all the devil stuff is quite scary, all the exorcism type stuff, like The Omen and, you know, paranormal activity type stuff. But, yeah, I liked the aesthetics of this film. It's, you know, the 70s and it just feels like you're watching this and in real time. So it's good fun.
I do like it that you think the year after I was born was a creepy year. That's great. Thanks for that.
No, it's a cool era. I really liked it. And then you can hear the audience, you know, as well in the background and ooing and ahhing and yeah.
It's kind of fun when you think about it, because now we've got, like, you know, entertainment. Like, we're just constantly going to entertain ourselves either through social media stuff or watching streaming, or we're just constantly entertained. But back in the day, to be entertained, you have to actually get out of your house and go somewhere. I mean, sure, you've got TV as well, but, you know, to see stuff that's new, you'd have to go to a place while they're filming it and that sort of thing. So
yeah,
it's just amazing how far we've come in the 48, 46, 7, 8 years. Just, yeah, it's pretty impressive.
And it's a bit of a homage, this film, to late night shows, because I feel like that was such a family affair. Like, you would gather with the family and sit down and watch The Late Show or whatever it was, where I feel like that doesn't happen as much anymore. I feel like that's such a sad thing because, yeah, people would gather and watch, you know, Saturday Night Live or whatever they were into as a family on a particular night, because you had to watch it on your TV at the time that it was broadcasting. You couldn't just, you know, stream it later. So, yeah, I felt that was a nice homage, this film, to that type of, era, which we no longer really have.
That's right. Back then we had to watch it live. We'd never see it again.
Exactly. Gone. Vanished. Or you could record it.
Well, no, because in tape. The 77, you couldn't have recorded it.
Oh, no, yeah. No, because recording was in the
80s.
Yeah, so you couldn't even record it. One and done. Had to watch it and then it was gone.
That's right. My parents used to do this thing when we were at my grandparents' place, and they lived in Belmont and we were living in Willerton. And so it was about half hour, and back in there, it was about half hour journey from their house to our house.
Yep.
And my mom and dad, like, they'd be watching like Wonderful World of Disney, and they'd go, oh, yeah, we'll wait till the ad break and then we'll go and then you can continue watching when we get home. It's like, yeah, it's like half an hour to get home. An ad break is like, you know, 3 minutes. Like, yeah, this is not working out here. But anyway.
I miss the days of the ads when you'd be like, get up and run to go to the bathroom during an ad break, or quickly make some food, or anticipate the next ad break. The times were different. Times were different.
It's funny you mentioned that because I'm really busting to go to the toilet, so I'm going to play our ads.
Hopefully you'll be back in time.
Yeah, a minute earlier, and I've got like a minute and a bit, so here we go. Enjoy the ads and I will be relieved. Ah, that's better. live radio. It's wonderful, wonderful.
Anything
thing.
Can happen. It's a bit like late night with the devil. Anything can happen. Exactly. Hopefully nothing creepy, actually.
Well, fortunately, nothing happened. It was all everything went to plan, so it was all good.
Thank goodness.
So we are now in the last 15 minutes of the show. I'll have to track down a song to play us into Quizzy with his crate digging. We talked about it earlier. You know, the music raccoon and whatnot. Yep. So, Quizzy will be here talking about his creating. Actually, I better have a look at the thing here. Yes, he should be in the studio. He's not saying, like, play an old one of his. We don't get the chance a lot to talk about wrestling on the show because usually Rachel's here and she's not really au fait with all the wrestling that like we are.
I know. We could just talk about it for a whole hour. I'm sure we could.
Easily. But this weekend, this Sunday and Monday is WrestleMania, day one on Sunday and day two on Monday, which is good and bad. It's good that we get to see one day of WrestleMania on the Sunday and bad because we don't get to see the other day of WrestleMania because we'd be at work. I'm kind of excited about WrestleMania this year. How are you feeling leading up to that?
Yeah, I'm feeling pretty excited. I remember when I went to Elimination Chamber back in February, I'm like, oh, it's going to be ages before we get to see WrestleMania, you know, the biggest event in WWE, of course. And no, it's gone fast. It's crept up and I'm super excited. I think the whole storyline with The Rock, Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns is going to be very interesting to watch unfold. I feel like having The Rock back is, you know, everybody's very hyped on that and loving that type. But yeah, it's a great storyline. So I'm really looking forward to seeing how that unfolds. But yeah, I'm looking forward just to watching some good wrestling. And I feel like WrestleMania never lets me down. I feel like it's always good. You'll have, a couple of really good matches. And yeah, so looking forward to it. Are you going to watch it on your big, big screen?
Oh, yeah. Well, we've got the double glazing and the roller shutters upstairs. The one thing we got, I don't know if I mentioned it, but when we put in double glazing and the roller shutters so that upstairs it'll be keep it cool, but also like block the light out so that we can watch the big screen during the day.
Yes.
What I forgot, the whole idea was like take off the blinds and put in the double glazing and the roller shutters and it's all going to be good. What I forgot was glass is reflective. So when you've got a screen and you've got a projector pointing on the screen, it creates light and that light reflects off the glass and so you're seeing double images. So now the last thing we need to do upstairs in cinema is put curtains over the windows. Mm-hmm. And my preference is for like red velvety type curtains like you would have in an old school cinema. Mm-hmm. So I'm hoping that we get that sorted out.
That would be very, very cool to see. But yeah, there's going to be some great matches. You've also got Rhea Ripley versus Becky Lynch go head to head.
So who are you picking for that one? Do you think? I think the Eradicator's got it. Rhea Ripley's got to win that.
I think so. Yeah. I think Becky Lynch has had it. You know, like she's been on the top for such a long time. Mm. I think they're both great performers, but I think Rhea Ripley will probably take it out. To be honest, but you've also got. I love that Jey Uso and Jimmy Uso brothers are going head to head. I always love sibling rivalry. I think that's always fun to watch unfold. Imagine their parents.
Well, their dad's Rikishi.
That's right. Of course, he's Rikishi. So, yeah, imagine that, though, just doing that. And then, yeah, you've got the tag team championship, the six-pack ladder match. Love a ladder match. Love.
And I apologize people aren't wrestling fans.
They're like, what are you talking about?
Judgment Day is going to not win that. I think.
I thought you were going to say word. And I was like.
No. But see, to me, like the championship belts, the tag belts, they've been unified for a couple of years now.
Yeah.
And it's so stupid because they've still got these, like each competitor has two belts that they're going around with. And it's like either give them new tag team belts and say these are the unified tag team belts.
Yep.
Or split the belts up and then have a tag team on Raw and a tag team on SmackDown.
Yeah.
Because like having just one set of belts that you know, and then tag teams on both brands. It's just the stupidest thing.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think they need to like you know split them up and have world tag team champions and WWE tag team champions. Sorry, yep. I was just diving deeply into
logistics. You know, yeah. but I can see why it would work. I'm actually kind of going for the Miz and R-Truth in this one.
That would be cool.
I just feel like they make a great team, and some of their stuff is quite funny.
The awesome truth. The R-Truth is so good at being so stupid.
Yeah, like yeah, and I think I just love that whole story that they've got going on. So I'm kind of going for those guys. And I think The Miz has been in the industry for such a long time as well. I think he's overlooked a little bit. I think he's quite a good wrestler.
He is, yeah. And he's, as I said, he's been there for a couple of decades now. So it's pretty full on. I've got a theory, right?
Yes.
That they've been building up to, because in the first night of WrestleMania, The Rock and Roman Reigns are going to be taking on, so the Bloodline is taking on Seth Rollins and Cody Rhodes. And then if Cody and Seth win, then it's going to be a fair fight the next day. No bloodline interference in that match. But if the bloodline win, then it's going to be bloodline rules. So it's basically, at that point in time, going to be a free-for-all. Mm-hmm. So I think the way they've been building it up, because they've just been beating down Cody and they've been beating down Seth, and it's like they have got to win that tag match on the first night.
Yep.
But then someone debuts and interferes that's not part of the bloodline at the moment.
Yep.
I think that's got to be what happens, because they can't have Roman Reigns losing that belt when he's so close to breaking Hulk Hogan's record of being, like, Hulk Hogan isn't the longest reigning WWE champion of all time, but he's like the modern era's longest reigning champion, and that's over 1,400 and something days.
Mm-hmm.
And Roman is so close to being that. I just can't see him losing that belt.
Yeah, I feel like you're right. As much as I want Cody Rhodes to take it, I feel like you're right. I feel like that is exactly how it will play out. I think you're onto something, and yeah, I think we'll see that happen.
But they want to give people that long reigning champions dethroned, and I think we'll see Io Sky lose her belt to Bayley.
Yeah.
I think we will see Gunther is going to finally lose the Intercontinental. He's now the longest reigning Intercontinental champion of all time.
Yes.
I think that we're going to see him lose his Intercontinental title to Sami Zayn. Mm-hmm. That's your big champion, long reign, loses his belt payoff.
Yeah.
That's going to happen on night one. Yeah. So I just don't see Roman losing on night two.
Yeah.
And then what was the other title change as well? So Io's going to lose to Bayley. Gunther's going to lose to Sami Zayn. The titles, tag team titles should change hands. Oh, yeah, of course.
Oh,
Seth Rollins is going to get injured in the tag team match, and then he'll lose his world title to Drew McIntyre the next day on WrestleMania Day 2.
Yes. You've also got LA Knight versus AJ Styles on Night 2 as well. I like seeing Logan Paul versus Kevin Owens versus Randy Orton. I'm going for Randy Orton, but I just don't like Logan Paul.
No.
Does anyone like Logan Paul?
I'd love to see KO go over in that. I'm a big fan of KO.
Yeah, actually, he's good, and I feel like he doesn't get as much attention as he should. So that's for the States Championship.
As long as I get the belts off Logan, that's amazing.
Yes, please, take him off. Yeah. I just can't stand him. I know it's his character, but I just...
Oh, no, he's a horrible person in real life as well.
I just don't like him. It's a great lineup, and looking forward to the old wrestling. I should have taken Monday off.
I know.
I'm sick.
I'm already in deficit on annual leave days, thanks to having to take all that time off at Christmas. So, an extra day off is not good for me, but I will catch up with WrestleMania.
Just means you can watch it another day and enjoy it, and even watch it. Yeah. When you can,
I'm not too fussed about spoilers and stuff. So, we've only got 30 seconds left of the show, but how are you enjoying seeing The Rock as the heel?
I'm really fascinated by it. I think everybody's loving seeing him, be a heel. So, I think he suits it. I think he suits it really well.
He does. He'll face, he'll turn face at some point.
He will have to.
Even when they were in New York earlier in the week, and he came out, the pop he got, and the Rocky chants, and all that sort of stuff. So, either way, I mean, I'm glad people realize it's all story. It's all pre-scripted. It's not real. But he's a great job as a bad guy.
Oh, he is. But you're right. I think he's going to turn good at some point.
Maybe
what the people want.
Maybe Hollywood will go, he actually could play some bad characters now.
Yeah, in some movies. Mm.
Exactly. Anyway, we've got to get out of here. I'm going to leave you with some cranberries, some zombie, and we'll be back next week.
See ya.
Bye.
This podcast has been brought to you by the Gentlemen of Pop Culture.